This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to A Positive Outlook, an audio journal production highlighting optimistic news stories. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Ava Sardina, and I am your volunteer reader. The first few articles are from sunnyskyz.com. An 11-year-old becomes the first child to read 100 volunteer hours to shelter pets. An 11-year-old boy in Florida has proven that one simple act of kindness can make a lasting difference. After spending more than 2 years reading books to homeless shelter animals, Nehemiah Turner has become the first child in the history of the Jacksonville Humane Society's Positive Reading Program to reach an incredible milestone of 100 volunteer hours. For Nehemiah, the time that he spends at the shelter isn't just about reading. It's about bringing comfort to dogs that are waiting for a family to call their own. I hope that they get adopted, and I hope that I achieved my goal too, Nehemiah told ABC News. The Jacksonville Humane Society's Positive Reading Program invites children of all ages to read aloud to shelter animals. The program has a dual purpose by helping children strengthen their reading skills while also creating a calm, soothing environment for stressed animals. It feels soothing and good, these calm, comforted animals. It's not like a whole lot of barking's happening, Nehemiah said. Nehemiah started visiting the shelter with his grandmother more than 2 years ago and quickly formed a special connection with the animals. He still remembers the very first dog that he ever read to. I went up there with my book, and I sat down with this dog named Augie, he recalled. I started reading to him, and after we had to leave, I started to cry because I didn't want to leave the Humane Society. In June, Nehemiah officially became the first volunteer in the program's history to log 100 reading hours. To celebrate the achievement, the Jacksonville Humane Society presented him with a certificate recognizing his dedication. Lawrence Nicholas, CEO of the Jacksonville Humane Society, praised the young volunteer's remarkable commitment. 100 hours read here at the shelter is such an amazing accomplishment over 2 years. That's some serious dedication for a young person like Nehemiah, Nicholas said. He added that Nehemiah's story is a reminder of how powerful kindness can be. Nehemiah reminds us that meaningful change often starts with one simple act of kindness. By dedicating his time to reading with animals here at the shelter, he's not only helped homeless pets, but also inspired those around him to see the difference that one person can make. The benefits extend beyond the shelter animals. Nehemiah, who's heading into sixth grade as a straight-A student, has also strengthened his own literacy skills through the program. Nicholas hopes that more families will follow Nehemiah's example. This is a place where we can put the tablet and the electronics down, pick up a good old-fashioned book, and read to someone who really wants to hear your voice. How can you beat that? He said. As proud as he is of reaching 100 hours, Nehemiah isn't finished yet. When asked what comes next, he smiled and set his sights even higher. What's next? I think we have to set up a new hour. So I think I'll set up like 110, 150, and 200 hours. For the dogs patiently waiting behind kennel doors, Those extra hours will mean even more comforting voices, more quiet moments, and perhaps one more reason to keep hoping that their forever family's just around the corner. Tiny dog rescued after swimming for miles in San Francisco Bay reunites with her family. What started as a frightening swim into the waters of San Francisco Bay ended with an emotional reunion thanks to a remarkable rescue involving firefighters, police officers, and a drone team. Preeta, a small dog who was missing since the 4th of July, became the center of an all-out rescue after someone called 911 to report that she ran into the bay and just kept swimming. The Menlo Park Fire Protection District, the East Palo Alto Police Department, and other first responders quickly launched a coordinated rescue by air and sea. When crews arrived, they scanned the water with binoculars before deploying a drone to locate Preeta more precisely. The drone provided GPS coordinates that guided a rescue boat directly to the exhausted pup. The East Palo Alto Police Department later shared a video of the dramatic rescue, joking that the cat in the tree had the day off because this rescue looked like something from an action movie. Officers also said that Preeta endured an aerial assault by an organized gang of seagulls while struggling to stay afloat, making the successful rescue even more impressive. The rescue came down to perfect timing. Firefighter Tyler reached out and scooped Preeta from the water in one smooth motion, bringing her safely abroad. After being checked over, Preeta was cared for by animal control before the local SPCA reunited her with the family that was desperately searching for her ever since she disappeared on Independence Day. The story became even more touching when Preeta and her owner later met many of the rescuers during a Menlo Park Fire Protection District board meeting. Firefighter Tyler, along with firefighters Seth, Dan, Carlos, Alex, and drone operator Tom, were there to see the little dog safe, dry, and happily back where she belonged. Preeta's owner became emotional as she thanked everyone who helped save her beloved companion. She shared that she recently lost several close family members and was heartbroken when she believed that she lost Preeta as well. For the rescue crews, seeing the pair reunited was the perfect reward. As the fire district summed it up, it was a happy ending for all. Eleven-year-old leukemia patients' window signs fill the hospital floor with pizza, cupcakes, and kindness. An 11-year-old girl undergoing leukemia treatment discovered that a simple message taped to her hospital window could bring far more than pizza. It inspired an outpouring of kindness from local businesses that wanted to brighten her days and remind her family that they weren't facing the journey alone. Emily Wilkins, who's receiving treatment at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, hung handmade posters in her room asking for pizza and donuts. Once photos of her signs started circulating on social media, the community quickly stepped in. Pizza and sweet treats soon started arriving at the hospital. Snappy Tomato Pizza delivered pizzas, Abbey Girl Sweets sent cupcakes, and Bourbon House Pizza owner Mary Brandstetter personally brought food for Emily's family after seeing the little girl's request online. A little girl asked for pizza on a poster board in her window, Brandstetter said. So we were like, of course we're gonna go. She asked for a pizza. It's a little girl. Why not? For Brandstetter, the visit became much more meaningful than just dropping off a meal. After speaking with Emily's mother, she reflected on the experience with emotion. I still have chills, she said. It means a lot. It makes you think that the little struggles that you have in your life right now don't even compare to what this mom's going through. It just makes you feel so good to be a small part to help them in that situation. We're all praying and rooting for her. She added that Emily's mother described her daughter as a strong little cowgirl. Some of the deliveries caught Emily completely by surprise. When asked how it felt knowing that complete strangers saw her signs and wanted to help, her answer was simple. It makes you feel good. Instead of anger, this driver gave the man who hit him a hug. Traffic accidents often end with raised voices, frustration, and blame. But one recent collision in Brazil took a completely different turn, and it's touching hearts around the world. In the city of Camboriú, Brazil, a driver rear-ended another vehicle on a downtown street, creating what could have been a tense and emotional confrontation. Instead, a simple act of compassion transformed the moment into one that thousands of people won't soon forget. Security camera footage captured the aftermath of the crash on Rua Rodolfo da Silva Simas. As the drivers stepped out of their vehicles, one of them became visibly overwhelmed. Instead of responding with anger or pointing fingers, the other driver wrapped him in a comforting hug. The two stood together for a few quiet moments, sharing what appeared to be a heartfelt exchange before continuing to deal with the accident. The touching moment was later noticed by a local resident reviewing neighborhood security footage. His daughter shared the video online, where it quickly spread across social media. The clip has since been viewed more than 200,000 times on a regional page, with viewers praising the driver's kindness and empathy. While the crash itself was unfortunate, the response afterward became a powerful reminder that even in stressful situations, people still have the ability to choose kindness over conflict. Teenager trusts his instincts and saves a crash victim just in time. A teenager's decision to trust his instincts instead of driving past a car in a ditch turned out to be the difference between life and death for a complete stranger. 16-year-old Randy Gerlach was on his way to work, driving along a country road in Morrison, Illinois, when he noticed a vehicle sitting in a ditch. At first, he wasn't sure if it was an accident or if the driver just slipped off the shoulder of the road. Still, something didn't feel right. I wasn't sure if something actually happened or if the driver just kind of accidentally went too far on the shoulder and went in, Gerlach recalled. Instead of ignoring the feeling, he continued into town, then made the decision to turn around and check on the vehicle. I turned around in town because I figured by then, if it was an accident and they didn't mean to, they would have been gone by then, and they weren't. When Gerlach reached the car, he immediately realized that the situation was far more serious than he imagined. Inside, he found an unconscious woman behind the wheel. He quickly called 911, and emergency responders rushed the woman to the hospital. Doctors later shared just how critical his timing was. They told Gerlach that if he arrived only 20 minutes later, the woman likely wouldn't have survived. While many people would call him a hero, Gerlach remains humble about what happened. I was just in the right place at the right time, and I actually did the right thing and didn't just keep going, he said. His advice to others is simple and powerful. Go with your gut. Sometimes the smallest decision, like turning around to check on a stranger, can end up saving a life. Randy Gerlach's quick thinking and willingness to act are a reminder that listening to your instincts and taking a moment to help someone else can make all the difference. Strangers unite to save three women trapped in an overturned car after it falls off of an overpass. When a car flew off of an HOV overpass and crashed upside down onto a busy Houston freeway, complete strangers didn't wait for emergency crews to arrive. Instead, they jumped into action, working side by side to rescue three women trapped inside. The terrifying crash happened on Wednesday evening when, according to Metro Police, the driver lost control while speeding, struck the HOV barrier, and careened off of the Beltway 8 overpass before landing upside down on the Southwest Freeway. As traffic came to a halt, drivers abandoned their own vehicles and rushed toward the wreckage. A growing crowd of Good Samaritans surrounded the overturned car, desperately trying to reach the women trapped inside. Some used sledgehammers, poles, and their bare hands to pry at the vehicle, while others focused on keeping everyone safe until firefighters arrived. Jack Johnson was among the strangers who stopped in to help. "I saw the car just flat rooftop down, smashed in, and I saw a couple of gentlemen that were there," Johnson recalled. He said that he never considered driving away. "Something just told me to get out of the vehicle and go see what was going on and help." As he approached the wreckage, he could hear the women inside crying out. "All I could hear was the young girls in there just screaming and yelling, saying, 'Get me out! Help me!' And I thought about my little girls." Hearing their voices, despite the severity of the crash, gave him hope. "That was a major relief. I'm glad that I didn't walk up to not hearing any voices at all." The rescue quickly became a coordinated effort among people who never met. "Everyone had their own little task," Johnson said. "They had one standing on top of the car, and they said that they smelled gas. They just pulled off fire extinguishers and everything, just to make sure." Another witness, Richard Ponce, said that the scene was chaotic as people worked desperately to free the women. "It was a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, and a lot of people freaking out," Ponce said. "Like smashing hits because so many people were hitting the car trying to get it open." Firefighters arrived a short time later, freed the three women, and transported them to the hospital. In what many described as nothing short of a miracle, all three are expected to survive. Perhaps the most remarkable part of the story came after the rescue was over. The volunteers didn't stay to be recognized. According to Johnson, they just exchanged handshakes and quietly went their separate ways. Johnson hopes that he'll one day reconnect with the other rescuers and learn how the women are doing. For him, the experience perfectly captured the spirit of his city. "Houston comes together. At a time of need, we come together, and that made me feel wonderful that everyone would just stop their lives to deal with another person who was in danger," he said. In a moment that could have ended in tragedy, a group of ordinary strangers reminded everyone that heroes don't always wear uniforms. Sometimes they're just the people who stop, run toward danger, and refuse to leave someone behind. The next few articles are from goodnewsnetwork.org. Dad turned weekly library trips with his daughter into a beloved community event. Meet the Library Dads, by Andy Corbley. Once upon a time, in a little town called Atlanta, there was a dad who decided on a lark to take his four-month-old baby girl to the library. He didn't know it at the time, but the Georgia native planted the magic bean that would grow into a giant beanstalk of brotherhood and paternity, known simply as the Library Dads. Carey Arnold founded the group after his weekly outings with his daughter Aria resulted in becoming a keystone in his relationship with her. Not only did it become their special time together, but Aria showed signs of developing those early literacy skills so vital to success and satisfaction in all walks of life. Arnold thought that other dads might want to find camaraderie in the activity and started inviting fathers in the community with children of any age to participate. Now, when the dads descend on a local library, Arnold's mission and message is clear for all to see. Dads show up. Bonding through books and building brotherhood, the alliterative message is simple, powerful, and a cherished chapter in dozens of Atlanta Dads' day planners. It was eye-opening to see other dads like me who were engaged, and it was motivating as well. Castle Scott, father to a 3-year-old girl named Amale, told CBS News Atlanta, who also heard from Mr. Derek Lampkin. Lampkin's been bringing his sons, Dominique and Tristan, to library dad events for the past year and started bringing his 7-month-old daughter, Madeline Sophia, as well. "We keep coming because it shows my boys that dads show up," Lampkin said. "They're there, and it's a good community." The library dads events are free, but often fill up quickly. Woman's viral video raises more than $174,000 for a disabled veteran who she spotted working at an airport. By Andy Corbley. A woman was able to help a partially disabled airport worker retire after she witnessed him hobbling across the tarmac on a flight from Los Angeles. Heartbroken watching him limp up to the plane that she was sitting on, she captured a video of the man for her TikTok account and posted it with a caption asking if anyone knew who he was. The footage went viral, and soon a fundraiser did too. James Blair is a Navy veteran, having worked in the military between 1980 and 1990 before re-entering civilian life as a fuel mechanic. Since 2006, he's worked at John Wayne Airport despite hardly being able to walk from a pair of deteriorated knees. Having recently turned 64, and therefore not far from Social Security and presumably a military pension, he can't retire because his income helps support his elderly mother's hospice care. Knowing none of this, Thackeray proceeded to watch as comments piled up asking her how someone might be able to help the poor man, until finally, a commenter identified him as Blair, at which point she was able to get in touch with him, having neither a smartphone nor social media accounts, through his boss at John Wayne Airport. The boss volunteered to drive around 90 minutes to Blair's house and help him set up a GoFundMe that Thackeray would be able to share to the millions of viewers of the video on TikTok. Does anyone know this man at the John Wayne Airport? Watching him work so hard, he could barely move, barely walk, it truly broke my heart. I know there has to be a way that we can help him retire. At the time of publishing, it channeled $180,000 from over 6,000 donations to a sole beneficiary fund set up for Blair's benefit. "I was speechless because I felt like the world showed up," Thackeray told KSL News, "and I think that in these times, we need people like that." Blair said that he wouldn't have ever believed that such a thing was possible, and that the unexpected blessing from a distant-seated stranger did nothing less than restore his faith in the divine. "I believed in God, but I didn't fully believe in God. But now, with the angel sitting next to you, it's amazing," Blair told Thackeray as reported by KSL. "I have a hard time working to pay bills, so other people probably have the same problems. When they're giving money that they really can't spare, that amazes me. I'm just blown away. The angel is a moniker that stuck, because not long after the two strangers sat down and Thackeray was able to shake Blair's hand, then fill it with a check worth $174,000, he sent her a bouquet of flowers addressed to the very same. Blair hasn't retired just yet, but he did use some of the cash to buy a new bed. Young man interviews 3,000 World War II veterans over a 10-year project, Preserving Their Stories, by Andy Corboy. A decade ago, a young American started recording interviews with World War II combat veterans to satisfy his curiosity about the war. That curiosity became something of an obsession, and 3,000 veterans later, his hard drives and SD cards have become something of a national treasure. Brought to us from Steve Hartman for CBS News On the Road, 28-year-old Rishi Sharma says that it's been a privilege to meet the moral compass behind our society. "I've spent every single day of the last 10 years doing that," said Sharma, having recently finished speaking with the 100-year-old survivor of Iwo Jima. Sharma was first interviewed by Hartman in 2016 when the fresh-faced post-high schooler was mostly driving around his Southern California region for his curiosity. At the time, the young man was planning a multi-year trip around the country with the aim of saving as many stories from veterans as possible before the curtain came down on the Greatest Generation. Hartman shared that back when he first met Sharma, there were around 700,000 World War II veterans still among us. Today, that number stands at 30,000. "Just the advice that they impart silently steers the ship of this country," Sharma said. You've been listening to A Positive Outlook. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Ava Sardina. I'll be with you again soon. Thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. What are these strange clicking sounds? Is this a secret message in Morse code? They're the calls of a male buff-breasted sandpiper courting a female on their breeding grounds far north of the Arctic Circle. He raises his wings, flashing their silvery white undersides, as he sings his clicking serenade. A bit smaller than a robin, the buff-breasted sandpiper is strikingly handsome, rich tawny brown overall, with dark markings on the back and the light-colored breast for which it's named. And it's a shapely bird. Fine. Delicate, almost. It'll spend much of the year on grasslands in Argentina, migrating to the Arctic in late spring for breeding, then heading south again in late summer or early fall. In the lower 48, September's a good time to look for this long-distance traveler. During migration, they show a distinct preference for grassy expanses such as pastures and rice fields. Buff-breasted sandpipers are one of our scarcest shorebirds, and they face threats from pesticides and the loss of habitat. Joint conservation among the U.S., Canada, and Argentina under the Migratory Species Convention could greatly benefit this bird. But even small actions, like supporting growers of organic rice, can help secure the future of a threatened species like the buff-breasted sandpiper. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.